Hare Krishna. It was a very nice presentation by Acharya Shah. Actually, I have not summed up the total, but you got very good marks for facing the audience and for introducing the topic nicely, as well as for question answers. Actually, question answers you get maximum marks. Actually, very beautifully answered the question. We will discuss some of the questions raised. As far as giving material examples for spiritual subject is concerned, Harish has already nicely presented an example. I believe most have heard it nicely. As you were telling, the mother who wants to show the moon in the sky, she tells the child to look at the tree and then look at the branches, and in between the branches she tells the child to see a moon. It's called Shaka Chandra Nyaya. Shaka Chandra Nyaya. In this way, because we are conditioned souls, we cannot appreciate spiritual subject matter unless it is explained with examples. Because the spiritual subject may appear abstract and very difficult to understand. It's a very deep science. Man may talk about mass, solid or liquid or gas or even plasma. And there are things which are even much subtle, even in the material realm. What to speak of spiritual subject matter, which cannot be perceived with our senses. The Supreme Lord Himself is called as Adokshaja. Adokshaja means who is beyond our bodhic indriya, material senses. So such a Supreme Lord who is completely transcendental cannot be understood by our material senses very easily. Unless otherwise, such elementary examples are given to us to understand. That is why material examples are given. It is certainly true that material examples are not competent enough to completely describe the Supreme God. In fact, the Supreme God is called as inconceivable. Inconceivable. Inconceivable means that which cannot be conceived. Then why do we explain? Of course, it is inconceivable, but we are trying to understand the Lord to our best ability through such examples, because ultimately we have to achieve His lotus feet. So we are trying to understand Him with the best possible ability. One question was asked about, is it not negative thinking to say a body is vomit and soul? It is certainly not negative thinking, because we want to be realistic. We don't want to hide ourselves from the realities of life. Like sometimes you go to somebody's house, you want to visit somebody, and the house is full of dirt and dust and littered with papers, and it looks very ugly. Just because a guest is going to come to their house, what do? They take all the things and put in one corner and put a blanket. And then say, now my house is very clean. Now my guests can come. But if you remove the blanket, what do you see? All the nasty things. In the same way, we don't want to cover up the reality. Body does contain blood, mucus, stool, urine, pus, and all these things. It's a reality. And unless one breaks open the reality and in a revolutionary way tries to understand the nature of soul and nature of God, there is no possibility of coming out of the suffering in this material world. As long as one wants to put a covering on his eyes and say that I am happy, he is an illusion. The whole material civilization, especially in the modern times, is teaching man how to live on a tottering, illusory platform, imagining that this world is a plane of happiness. It's a place of happiness. Just like you go to the office, there are so many problems in the office. You have fight with equals for position. You have income tax problems. And when you come home, you have problems from the wife, problems from children. There is so much expenditure. You don't have enough money. There is a threat from the relatives, threat from the neighborhood, threat from the country, threat from so many people. So life is full of so many challenges, and the person feels shivering when he faces such reality. So in order to put himself in a illusory plane, what does he do? As soon as he comes home, he puts on the television. In that moving illusory screen, some beautiful woman comes and dances. or some drama is going on, and this poor fellow absorbs himself in such a illusory dream in which he is thinking himself to be happy, although he is actually not happy. He is trying to escape from his problem by looking at the screen of the delusion. Sometimes people encourage all their family people to sit and see television so that they can forget the problem. You may temporarily forget as long as you are seeing the television, but the debtors are going to come and catch your neck. The money which you are supposed to pay for the bill, you will have to pay. You can't escape. You have to pay the electric bill, you have to pay the telephone bill, you have to pay the income tax. Everything you have to do, you cannot escape from that. So escaping from the reality of the world is like an ostrich tendency. One time an ostrich was escaping from a tiger. He was trying to escape from the tiger, and the ostrich could not run very fast. So as soon as he saw the tiger is coming very close, he put his head inside a hole and closed his eyes tightly and said, "Oh, let me be very optimistic that there is no tiger behind me. I don't want to be a pessimist. I don't want to be a negative thinker. I don't want to be like this Hare Krishna devotee who always says this world is a place of suffering. I don't want to think of suffering. Let me imagine and assume that there is no tiger behind me. This is a happy place I am living." But before he could complete his sentence, the tiger caught hold of his entire body and devoured him. So we may imagine that there is happiness in this world. And we may imagine that the body is so beautiful. A woman's body appears so attractive and beautiful. That's how the prince was so much getting attracted. And he saw the body of princess. The prince was getting attracted. In the same way, everyone in this world is thinking, "Oh, how nice is the body. The body is like a rose. Body appears like a rose, but what is there inside? That has to be broke open, and the reality has to be told to us. The body, as it was explained, is a lump of flesh and bones and stool." So he was making an argument that actually stool is something that is generated from the body and thrown out. Otherwise the body inside is very fragrant. But even if you don't consider the stool that is coming out or the urine that is coming out, inside there are provisions for worms to stick, you see, within the body. And if you see the intestines, if you see the heart, if you see the lungs, if you see every section of the body, it is all flesh. Flesh and blood and bone and stool and urine and all these things are there inside the body also. Everywhere, all over the body. That's what the body is made up of. So the body in itself has no substance. This is what it is made up of. And why should we consider it glorious? So we have to break it open and understand what is the reality behind the body. We don't want to hide ourselves, put a covering on ourselves and say that let me be in an illusory platform of happiness. That is the drunkard state. A drunkard having drunk fully, he is thinking, "I am like Muhammad Ali or I am like Mike Tyson. Who can come near me?" You have seen that? When a drunkard is fully drunk, he thinks, "I have so much strength, but this fellow is skinny." But he feels as if he is having a body like a Himalaya. He is so strong, or like Mike Tyson. But he cannot even withstand the hit of a small child. The child, if he comes and gives a hit on the back, he will fall down. But he thinks, "I am very strong." So, to not open the realities and secrets of this body, he is to be in a drunken state of intoxication. To think that this body is wonderful. That's what the entire world is about. If you see the cinemas, so many cinemas are showing the relationship between man and woman. How a man, he takes the kerchief of a heroine and he goes and hangs it over her. And he considers as if it is pavitra. It's very divine. As soon as he gets it, "Oh, how fortunate am I to get the kerchief of this beautiful girl." But the beautiful girl is removing all the nasty substances from her nose. When he smells it, he will understand. He will walk. But he considers it divine. So if you want to still consider it divine, you may put a scent on that and consider it divine. It can be under illusion. But the reality is that, as you were explaining beautifully in the drama you were sharing, you remove 1 millionth a layer from the body and all that you find is simply flesh and bones inside this body. For that matter, if you go even one step ahead the emotions, so-called emotions exhibited by the union of a man and woman are also simply products of this same nasty substances. Every hole from our body is emanating such nasty substances. From the nose, from the ears, from the mouth, from the kidney, from the anus, all nasty substances, foully substances are coming from the nine holes of this body. And it cannot give any real happiness by man and woman coming together. That is why it is called as kandurjivan manasikam vishakheta dhiraha. Dhiraha, those who are sober persons, they contemplate on this very seriously. Why is a man and woman coming together so passionately? As if there is something hidden there. There is no happiness in that. Bhaktivinoda Saraswati says, one time, a crane wanted to catch a fish. It was waiting for a long time near a pond. He could not catch a fish. It was difficult. Then he thought, is there any easy way out to get the same fish? How easy it is, how nice it will be if I can get a fish somewhere, by some other way. In the same way, the spiritual actually belongs to the spiritual world. So if you go to the spiritual world, there can be true happiness. But the material world is called as a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Like a tree has the original mango in it. But the same tree is seen in the water. But can you get that mango in the water? You have seen the mango. But if you dive into the water, you will only break your head. You cannot get the mango. Because it is a reflection, pratibimba. It is not reality. In the same way, unless one works hard in spiritual life and achieves the spiritual world, one cannot derive real happiness. So this crane was thinking, oh, why should I work hard to get a fish from the pond? Let me get it by some other way. So at that time he saw a fish hanging from the body of a bull. It was actually not a fish. You know the testicles of a bull? He saw two legs, and in between the two legs he saw the long fish hanging. What was that? Huh? No, not tail. Testicles. You know testicles? Tail is something much behind. This is before the two legs. He saw it was exactly looking like a fish. You have seen a bull? Isn't it? So he saw the testicles and thought, this is actually a beautiful fish. And it is hanging and nobody is catching it. How easily it is available. Why should I not enjoy this? And I am struggling to get that in the pond for standing for such a long time. Then he went near the testicles and tried to catch it with his mouth. When he was catching it, the bull gave a big kick. His face was completely smashed, started crying. See, although it is very easily available, but I am getting a lot of kicks. Okay, let me try it for the second time. Again he went very slowly nearby and he caught it.
Yeah, big kick
again. So this is a repeated kick he got and he damaged his face. In the same way, because it was actually not a fish. In the material world, we are living things saying, oh, happiness is so easily available in the body of a beautiful body of a woman. Why should I not enjoy this? Let me try to enjoy it. If you try to enjoy it, you'll get a kick on the face. That's what is material energy. People are thinking, so many beautiful women are there, let me have association with 1,000 women, all beautiful girls. They are making so many blue films nowadays, if you see. And men who have seen these pornographic movies want to enjoy. So when they were trying to enjoy with so many women, the most dangerous disease came up, AIDS, isn't it? Now AIDS is such a dangerous disease, simply by shaking hands with a person having AIDS can cause you AIDS disease. It's so deadly dangerous. Now everywhere they are writing slogans, do not worry, we will try to prevent AIDS. Prevent AIDS by not associating with prostitutes. They are putting so many slogans everywhere. But what is the use of putting all these slogans after you have brainwashed the minds of people with a tool of sense enjoyment? You have already brainwashed the people that this is the highest enjoyment in this world. And now you are going after them and telling, don't enjoy. How will they not enjoy? They will enjoy, they will get disease and they will die. You can't stop it. So, the Shastras are presenting the reality. They say that if you think this is enjoyment, you are a fool number one. Because this so-called illusory happiness, which is on a mental plane, which makes you think because of hallucination that will give you happiness, it is simply an illusion. It is something that escapes from your hand. It's like a mirage in the desert Except it appears like as if there is a big flow of water and the animal, poor animal, runs there to drink water. And when he puts his head into that illusory water and tries to grasp it in his mouth, all that he finds in his mouth is dry, hot sand, which further increases his thirst. That is the condition of this material world. Krishna says, Dehi samsparshita bhoga dukkha yoni evate adhyantavanta kaunseya nakeshramati abhuda. He says that in this world, the sense pleasures which are available, if one tries to enjoy it, it leads, it's a beginning in suffering and end in suffering, the source of all suffering. Nakeshramati abhuda, intelligent persons do not indulge in that nature. So the sex in the ancient times was not considered so much important for a common man. In fact, it was thought to be one of the energies that is supplied by God for the sake of procreating children, so that one can grow his own children, one can bring out the lineage, and also one can make one's children to devotees. The purpose was not to enjoy. But in the modern times, sex is advertised as if it is the most important activity, and there is nothing else a substitute to that. And it appears to be the one and only activity for which everyone has to aspire for in life. That's the predicament of modern society today. What was considered to be one of the most insignificant parts of man's life is now given so much prominence that everyone, although walking in two legs, is behaving like a four-legged animal. Not much different. Prabhupada says the dogs in the street are sometimes assembling for a big fight amongst themselves. Ultimately, what for? For sex life. And man is doing the same thing, probably in a more elaborate way. He says, by having sophisticated computers and sophisticated facilities, he is doing the same things in a much elaborate way. So that should not be considered the prime goal of life. In modern times, money and sex, these are considered the prime goal of life. Most unfortunate. Both of them are capable of frustrating a man to the extent of taking to drugs or committing suicide. And you can practically see with your own eyes cases of people who indulge in simply becoming infatuated in earning money and indulging in sex life, ultimately ruining their lives. You can practically see that. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Aviruddho Bhuteshu Kamasmi Paratarshata. I am the sex life that is born of religious principles, he says. How can sex be done in a religious way? When man and woman come together for the purpose of devotional service, and within the frame of devotional service, if they beget children, to make them Krishna conscious, then it is considered legitimate. Then it is considered religious. Otherwise, one shouldn't struggle after this illusory happiness and waste all one's valuable time in life. So, when we talk of vomit and stool and urine and all these things, we are just presenting the reality. We are not telling you something that is imagined, as imagined by the materialist. Materialists imagine so many things in this world. What is the most nasty thing? They try to present it in such a way. Like even if you go to the movie, some other actresses, they don't want to show their face in movies after 30 years. You know that? Because they're afraid. Once people see my white hair, once they recognize my depth in my eyes, how I have become a little old, they cannot tolerate. They want to, they are afraid that I will lose my prestige amongst my fans. My fans will go away. They are afraid. Because the body is so rapidly changing. And even in the movies, they are not presenting the presence as it is. They put so much of one thickness of what you call it, fair and lovely, so that you will not see the color of the skin. And they put such headlights. And they struggle to make a person so beautiful. This is illusion. Some of them must have heard the example how one time a man was chasing after a woman, like you saw the prince was chasing after the princess today. Same way one man was chasing after a woman. The woman appeared so beautiful. She had a beautiful cooling glass, long hair, a beautiful dress, and she was so tall and had a thin waist that she was capable of attracting this man up to her doorstep. And this man wanted to know which is her house. And when he found her house, he was so satisfied. Very good, now I know her house. Now I can follow her up and later on I can get married with her. Then when she went inside the house, he wanted to know what is she doing inside. And he peeped from the window. He was looking inside. As soon as she went home, she put her chappals near the door and went inside. Immediately she became half the height. because she was wearing high heels. Then he understood, oh, she is so short. I thought she is so beautiful and tall. Anyway, height is not a criteria, it's all right. Can be tolerated. She has many other forms of beauty. Then after some time, she removed her cooling glass. And then he saw, within her eye socket, the eyeballs were down deep inside. She was so old. The socket was so large and deep. She looked so ugly. Oh, I thought she is so beautiful with the cooling glass. Her eyes are so bad. Then within a short time, she removed her wig. And he found she was like this, like a seven-headed brahmachari. And then very soon she removed her teeth set. She could not even speak, tap, 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 like that she was telling. She could not speak properly. In this way, and then she removed her facelift. And then after the facelift was removed, and all the wrinkles, plus she came to this thing, and she looked like a 90-year-old lady. So, she had to make herself beautiful by all these external agents to make herself beautiful. This is how women are alluring men in this world today, if you see. And if you think, oh, why should we negatively think like this? Let us just be very positive, imagining that this girl is a beautiful girl. So, man has become so much alluded with woman, that you just keep a stick like this and put a sari or put a skirt, immediately people will run after them. Man has become so crazy in the modern time. This is called as infatuation. This is simply illusion, the Shastra says. It's simply illusion. Whatever you are producing from your body, they are also producing the same thing. You produce urine and stool, they also produce urine and stool. That body is no speciality. The same thing. How much ever our body is nasty, that body is also equally nasty. There is nothing special in that. But the illusion to think that I am this body and she is that body, and we will enjoy. That is the basic principle of material existence. It is said, Kumsa Hastriya Mithani Bhava Metam Tayo Mito Vrade Ganti Mahavu. Because this is the hard knot in this material existence. And spiritual life teaches us how to come out of this illusory platform. How one can understand the reality of the soul, the reality of God. So are you hiding anything here? You are just opening it. You are just removing the blanket and showing, see, how nasty is the house. You have to clean it. So once you start cleaning the room, then you realize how much dirt and dust is there in the house. If you simply cover it with the blanket, you will not know. So we want to be truly optimistic. True optimism is what? To open the reality and understand all the mistakes that we have and get rid of them and achieve a truly optimistic life. So we don't want to cover up the reality. As far as comparing the living body to a car or a video camera, it may be a little difficult for those who are coming to spiritual life newly, because they think the body is all in all. Because they think the body is the beginning and body is the end. And how can it be compared to a car or a video camera, which is simply a dead matter? Because they think body has life. It is very special they think. But when you learn the spiritual science more and more deeply, you will appreciate that, as Krishna says, yantra rudhani mayaya. This body is a good yantra, a good machine. Because this body has so many facilities. It has got the heart to pump the blood. It has got the intestines, stomach to digest the food, to gastric acid. The body has hands and legs to perform many wonderful activities. The body has got the brain, which is like a CPU, to perform so many intelligent activities. Despite possessing all these things, if the driver is not there in the body, who is the soul, the body cannot function. And the driver is the active principle, the soul. Without whose presence, the body cannot function. It is very simple knowledge. Like you take a computer, the computer or a lathe or any machine for that matter functions only when there is a man who is operating it. How many of you are from mechanical engineering? Quite a good amount of students. So you all have heard of capstan and turret lathe? You know capstan turret lathe, isn't it? Sometimes you see a turret lathe producing 20,000 nuts or 20,000 bolts. They do it automatically, isn't it? But although it appears to be doing automatically, the intelligent designer has set it up in the beginning, isn't it? In the turret, they set up a drilling, drill bit, they set up a bar stopper, everything you have set up in the beginning. And then after setting it all, then you have made a beginning of the machine. You started the machine, then it is producing 20,000 volts. in the same way, this body is a wonderful machine which apparently works automatically. Making this body work so nicely. And even at the time of death, the body has got all the facilities to do the same activities which you are doing now. But why does the body not function? Because the driver has gone away. Very simple. So this body is no better than a machine. Maybe you can call it a more sophisticated machine, but if the machine is a machine, so it's no better than a machine. It has no consciousness. It cannot think, it cannot feel, it cannot will, which Atma can do. Computer, even if you go for the supermaster, whether Krishna is God. See, for us who are born in India, we have heard of so many gods. We hear of Hanuman, we hear of Ram, we hear of Ganesh, we hear of Durga, Shiva, Brahma. So we hear of different people, and generally people get very confused. And when they get confused, they take resort of polytheism. Polytheism means, so it's all the same thing, you worship anybody else, there's no problem. All are one only. You worship anybody, ultimately it's all leading to the same truth. Yathamat tathapat is there. Yathamat tathapat means as it is there, as there are so many parts. So this is a very comfortable definition that is given by those who have never taken the trouble to go deeply into the scriptures. Many people do not read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, but are very fond of speaking about religion, giving comments about religion. Nowadays in India, you see, so many people are fond of speaking about God and speaking about religion without reference to the scriptures. So they say, you see, my understanding is, you know, all are equal. You can worship anybody. But you have to ask my dear friend, who bothers about your understanding? Who is going to value your understanding? Because we have defective senses and we have no proper understanding of God and we have no realization. So we have to resort to the scriptures. Like for example, if an electrical engineering student has just joined the first year B and he says, my opinion is that we don't have to depend on electricity. He says, you don't have to depend on VL Taraja. You forget about all those things. I will give you some new tools. Who is going to hear him? He's an unqualified candidate. He's just now knowledge. And then you can give this knowledge to others. In the same way, people in India, many people give different comments. People say Shiva is God. Some people say Vishnu is God. Some people say Brahma is God. Some people say everyone is God. You are also God. I am also God. Everyone is making his own comments based on his concocted understanding. So when I was a young boy, I was worshipping Shiva because I went to the shop. I asked my father, who is God? My father said, don't ask this question. Just do your duty. That is the ultimate goal of life. So I went to the shop and I saw so many pictures were there. Then I chose my own God. Because I saw Shiva was sitting like this. But I also wanted to do some yoga. I appreciated Shiva. So here is my good friend. He is also doing yoga like me. So let me choose him as my God. So I was worshipping Shiva. For many years, Om Namah Shivaya. After years of worshipping Shiva, then I prayed to him, please, award me what is best for me. Many, many people are coming to you for so many material benefits. So give me what is best for me. Then the Shiva brought me to Krishna's feet. So if you go into the scriptures, there are vivid descriptions how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that the devotees of ISKCON have caught hold of one portion of the scripture and saying that, you know, only Krishna is God, all others are bogus. It's not like that. You have to pay your attention to each and every scripture gradually. Slowly study them, understand them, digest the principles. In fact, you can come to a overall conclusion how every personality that we are talking about has a position in the scripture. Who is Shiva? Who is Krishna? Who is Brahma? Who is Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu? Who are the living beings? There is Jiva Tattva, there is Shambhu Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva. There are different Tattvas mentioned in the scriptures. Like one should see all the Puranas in totality. Like you see Shiva Purana. How Shiva Purana, Shiva is glorifying Lord Hari or Lord Krishna. How Shiva says, even my devotees who are worshipping me with no material desires, for them when they die, I recite the name of Lord Hari in their ears, he says. And Shiva himself is claiming that he is a devotee of Lord Hari. Aradhanam Visharvesham, విష్ణోరారాధనం పరం తస్మాత్ పరకరం దేవి సదీజానాం సమర్చనం. సో యూ హ్యావ్ టు సీ కోట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ విష్ణు పురాణ, శివపురాణ, ఆల్ డిఫరెంట్ పురాణ, భాగవత పురాణ, వేదాస్ అండ్ ఉపనిషత్. When you see overall understanding, then you will come to the conclusion Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam, as it is mentioned. Krishna is called as a Purna Purushottam Avatar, you know that? Whereas Lord Ram is called as Maryada Purushottam Avatar. Lord Ram is coming to set an example of how ideal human beings should behave. Whereas when Krishna comes, he is a Purna Purushottam. Purna means complete manifestation of Supreme God. There is nothing beyond him. There is nothing equal to him. He is worshipped as Yogeshwar. One is the master of all mystics. One is the source of everything. So, when you read all the scriptures, then you will come to this conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is not some Chauvinism. Do not think we are adhering to some sect. Because reality has to be presented as reality. There is only one Prime Minister in India. Or we have two. How many we have? Only one, isn't it? You have any doubt about it? So only one Prime Minister, and if you say so-and-so is Prime Minister, are you sectarian? When you are declaring that so-and-so is Prime Minister, are you sectarian in saying the truth? So reality, we have to admit it. But there are many ministers, isn't it? Below the Prime Minister, there are so many other ministers. In the same way, Tammeeswaranam Paramam Maheswaram Tam Daivatanam Paramam Sudevatam Patim Patinam Paramam Prastat Vidhamadevam Bhuvanesham Ityam. It is said, Patim Patinam, he is the leader of all leaders. Sam Isharanam Paramam Maheshwaram. Amongst all the Isharas, he is the Paramam Maheshwaram. He is the Supreme God. Sam Daivatanam Paramam Devatam. Amongst all the Devatas, he is the Supreme Devata. There is no one who is equal to him. There are vivid descriptions in the Upanishads, you can see, about the Supreme Lord Krishna. How he is supreme amongst all supreme. There are vivid descriptions. And without understanding him, he says, Sammeva Vidvan Adimrityumeti, Nanjapanta Vidyate Ayanaya. Without understanding that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, there is no other way for the soul to get out of this world, he says. So, we have to read the scriptures and gradually progress in the understanding of each of the demigods and their position. What is their position? Then one can come to the conclusion that Krishna is God. For me, to accept Krishna to be God was so difficult. Because I come from a South Indian family. And we have been worshipping Shiva for 15 years, performing, chanting Om Namah Shivaya. And many other similar, Vodram, Samaham and all. So, you can imagine how difficult it would be for a person coming from such a background. But still, reality is reality. Nobody can deny that. When reality is presented to you in the form of scriptures, when you read it, when it is genuine, you have to accept it. If I am saying, no, 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 according to my family tradition, I believe it is true. Belief and faith are not the same. Believing is something which may or may not be true. Faith is something that we put on something that is true. So if some reality is presented to us, we should become inquisitive to go deeper into the subject and understand how it is true. So Rupin was asking about a question of how, if I consider myself happy here in this world, and what should I think of the spiritual world? Many people ask this question. Very often when you go out to preach about Atma and body and God and all these things, many people say, oh, why should we think of all these things? Especially when you are in Tamoguna or Rajoguna. Tamoguna means mode of ignorance. Rajoguna means mode of passion. In these two modes, it is very difficult for you to appreciate spiritual subject matter. You cannot appreciate. Because you will think, let me just enjoy this world. Let me eat, drink and be merry. Let me enjoy this world. But a person suffers in this world, but he still thinks it is enjoyment. Paschanati na paschati, it is said. He is seeing that he is suffering, still he cannot understand. The example is given of Indra, when he was cursed to become a pig because of his offenses. Once Indra was cursed to become a pig. So he became a pig in the end of a street. He was living in a gutter where there was nasty smelling, fouling gutter water and the semi-solid substances. He was living in the midst of that. And after he became a he pig, naturally because he was king of heaven, here he became the king of pigs. There were 30-40 pigs whom he was ruling. And they all used to come to him for guidance. He would give them guidance. And they got him married to a beautiful pig wife. And he became very satisfied. And he produced many piglets. and he was living happily in this gutter. And after some years passed, Brahmaji came to take back Indra. And he told Indra, "Indra, what are you doing here? You are the king of heaven. You are supposed to sit in Amravati, in your original abode. Why are you wasting your life here? Now your term is finished. Now you come back. The punishment that was awarded you is over now. Now you come back." And Indra could not even understand who he is. He asked Brahma, "What are you saying? I cannot understand what you are saying. You forget about all of that. Now I am very happy. I have a big society. All people come to me for guidance. I have a beautiful, lovely looking big wife. And every morning she brings me a plate of fresh yellow stool for my breakfast. And I am very happily satisfied. Don't trouble me." And Brahma very much persuaded him, "Please come." He wasn't ready to hear. And Brahma thought, "Maybe I have to teach him a hard way." Then he took his arrow and pointed at his wife and killed her. Then the children started crying, "Oh, my wife is down," like it was dying. Then he pointed at the children, one by one by one, all the three he killed. And then the pig became frustrated that his wife and children were dead. In his frustration, he got detachment and realized, "What am I doing living in this gutter? I'm the king of heaven." In the same way, every one of us is a pure soul belonging to the spiritual world. But now we have come to this world and we have become entrapped in this lump of flesh and bone, a package of complicated network of bones and flesh and stool and urine and all these things. And we are now situated exactly like Indra inside the body of a pig. And we are thinking, why should I not lead a happy life in this world? What kind of happiness is that, living in the midst of stool? If you are thrown in a gutter to live in the midst of stool and urine, will you live? How long can you live? But that's what you are doing now. This body is such a myth that although you are living in the midst of stool and urine, still you don't realize that you are living in the midst of stool and urine and pus and blood and mucus and all these things. Because the body is covered with a thin skin which appears like an attractive package, but you don't realize where you are living. So, like I was telling earlier, if someone thinks this world is a happy place, he is like an intoxicated person. One boy was asking a similar question. He was telling, "Why do you say that we have to achieve the spiritual status to become happy? Everyone has his own idea of happiness. I am happy in my own way. You are happy in your way. He is happy in his way. Let all people to live in their own ways of happiness. Why do you trouble the people? Why do you ask them to follow Krishna consciousness?" So there are people who argue like this. But I told him, once when I was in a college days, close to a college, beside of the college, there was an arak shop. There was a liquor shop. Sometimes when the boys get their examination results, whether it is a positive result or negative result, both ways they drink. And now the results come. That is their habit. They are habituated. When they fail, they say, "Now I am frustrated, I have to drink." When they pass, they say, "Now I have won, I have to drink." That means they wait for occasions to drink booze. So some of the boys, when the results come, it will be a horrible scene. You cannot even stand near the bus stop. You come out of the college, I would be shivering to see the people calling some nasty, vulgar words, people lying in the middle of the road. Buses would be passing so fastly. You'd be so afraid that an accident shouldn't take place. So one of the boys, I observed, he drank very hard. And he was lying in a gutter. Like he was lying inside a gutter from his body, and even through his mouth, the gutter water was passing by. Which consists of urine and stool and all these things was passing by. And it was about to cover his nose. Then we felt pity for him. Then we dragged him out of the gutter. His heavy body, we brought him out. And I asked him, "Why are you suffering like this?" And even in an intoxicated state, that fellow jumped up and said, "Who said I am suffering? I am very happy." And his lungs were burning inside because of too much drinking, you know, the lungs burn, isn't it? Like if you see cigarette burns the lungs and drinking alcohol burns the... I think cigarette burns the livers, I think, isn't it? Cigarette burns the lungs and drinking burns the livers. His liver was burning because of too much drinking. And he was saying, "Who said I am suffering?" And he was crying. I am happy, he was trying to say, but while saying he was happy, he was crying. That much was the pain that he was experiencing in the stomach. So, if you see a illusory man, in such a state may claim to be happy, but we know he is not happy. So a person who is sane, who is not intoxicated, can clearly see that such a pitiable man is not at all happy. Similarly, someone says, who said there is no happiness in this world? I get what I want. You know, there is advertisement you have seen. I get what I want. What is the advertisement? Whiz, isn't it? So they are putting the advertisement so that every student will smoke whiz and say that I get what I want. You may claim you get what you want, but 99% of people don't get what they want. It is known to everyone. So whatever way people are suffering, they put the opposite. That's the nature of advertisement industry. Like, you know, one time in a, when a person was taken to hellish panic, he was told, what do you want to do? Then there were many, many pictures put there. Somebody was smoking, somebody was drinking, somebody was having sex with a woman. So he saw different pictures. On the other side, he saw somebody doing puja, somebody bowing down to God, somebody singing for God, everything. Then he saw the first ones were very attractive for him, smoking and drinking. He said, this is what I have been doing before, and this is very enjoyable. These boys I like very much. Please take me inside. And they took him inside. And after taking him inside, they threw him in a frying pan and started frying him. Started crying, oh, why are you troubling me like this? I thought I can enjoy this thing. And they told him, that was advertisement industry. That only for advertisement. If you do these things, this is what you will get. So, the same with advertisement may present many wonderful things externally. When you try to enjoy, you will get the result. So the same answer, that if you think the world is a very happy place, then you have to learn the lesson in a hard way. The intelligent person accepts the truth by hearing. The less intelligent person accepts the truth by seeing. The much lesser intelligent person doesn't accept truth even after seeing. He wants to experience it himself. Like a person who hears that if you jump from a 20-story building, you will break your legs. You all accept the truth? All of, how many of you accept the truth? That means you all are very intelligent. But a less intelligent person says, unless I see it, I cannot accept it. So he's waiting for a time to see it. But he doesn't get to see it, then he says, let me try experiencing it. He goes to the top and jumps from there and breaks his leg. And he says, oh, really? I break the leg. Training. So he has to learn a hard way. But a fool is one who doesn't accept it even after learning. He says, actually, you know, that time I didn't jump in a proper angle. Let me try again. So he is in hospital for 4 months to get rid of this bone fracture. After he gets all it again, he goes up. He tries. The same way people in this world are trying repeatedly again and again to enjoy the world, thinking that someday I will become happy. But that is simply struggle. Prakritisthani karsati Krishna says. It's a hard struggle with mind and five senses. But the Shastras are telling us, you follow this way, you can achieve happiness. Very quickly one can achieve, if one is sincerely following the Shastras. As far as the proof is concerned, proof of Svargaloka, proof of Narakaloka, and all these things are concerned. When we talk of these facts, we talk from the scripture. How do we know evidences? See, sometimes we present evidences like EO force, you know, unidentified flying objects that are found by scientists in Russia and in some remote villages of Europe, Australia also, yeah. They have found out EO force, and they say from the EO force, a man got down, he had very small ears, a very tall body, his face was very small. They had a very, very tall body, they had some special instruments in their hands. And as soon as they saw the people coming, immediately they flew away. So many evidences are there. We have written an article in our Spiritual Scientist, you can read about UFOs. We have an article which was published in 2 magazines. So we can cite scientific evidences to show that there is life in other planets also. But ultimately, a devotee of the Lord, how does he accept the truth? Like, we have so much faith in science. How did we get so much faith in science? You went to school and you heard from the scientists. Scientists said, this is earth, yourself said, this is sun, yourself said, these are flowers. So the preliminary truth they present is very easy to accept because it is experimentable. But the later truths that scientists present are not experimentable. But we still accept them to be true. because of our credibility in fact. Somebody having a fertile brain, like Haji Wells or Jude Bond, who writes his own fictitious stories, it's not like that. The shastras are divine vibrations that are spoken by the absolute truth. You will know them to be divine and you will know them to be supreme only when you hear them and follow them in your life. Only then you can appreciate them. Even spiritual life, we are doing with imperfections. That's a very good question. So Kamal Kant was asking this question. That you are talking often about spiritual life. But even spiritual life, we are doing with the same imperfections. Of course, it is true. It is said, Atas Sri Krishna Namadi, Navave Prasyamantri, Devon Mukhehi Jihvadu Sainayava Sratada. It is said, we cannot see Krishna with our blunt material senses. We cannot perceive him with our eyes, with our ears, with our hands and nose and all these things. We cannot perceive him with our blunt material senses. But Devon Mukhehi Jihvadu Sainayava Sratada. If one begins his service by accepting prasada, by taking the Lord's prasadam with his tongue, and by rendering service with his body for the Lord, gradually this impure senses will be purified. And with purified senses only one can understand. So prasanga senses are called kadindriyali. Kadindriya means impure senses. With this impure senses you cannot understand God. But you engage in your service, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Rishik is means the master of the senses. Rishik means center. Isha means master. Rishik is means master of the center. Rishikesha we say. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Vatrichate. So engage your senses in the service of the master of senses, Krishna, who is called as Rishikesha. Then all your senses will become purified, which you can understand. As far as the acharyas are concerned, you may consider the senses imperfect. Anybody has a renaissance? That is another thing. Yeah. In the sense. So, try to understand a simple example. Now you all know that it is Renal's pen, isn't it? If you didn't know that Renal's pen, then I ask you, what is this? Somebody in the last room may call it a chocolate. Isn't it? Does it not look like a chocolate? It is. Isn't it? So, with our imperfect senses, we may perceive it to be a chocolate. And everyone in this world is a human being, every human being, he will perceive it as a chocolate. He cannot see it as a pen. But if somebody who is possessing perfect senses, who is the person possessing perfect senses? Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, nobody else. God only has perfect senses. But he perceives the truth. He knows it's a pen. And then he is telling Manish, Manish, this is pen. This is not a chocolate. And Manish may perceive it as a chocolate, but he understands it. Although I do, it looks like a chocolate. I am told that it is not chocolate. It is Reynolds pen. He understands that, he hears the truth and accepts it. And then he tells the next person, it is not a chocolate, it is a pen. It is a pen, it is a pen, it is a pen. So this knowledge is coming down the ages in disciplic succession. But the first person to perceive the truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna himself, who has perfect senses. So this knowledge is perfect. You understand the point? So the Acharya, like Prabhupada said, I may be imperfect, but the knowledge I am possessing is perfect, he said. So only asked, how is it possible? If you are saying, can't you just wonder? And Prabhupada used to say, when he would go to America, this person thinks he has imperfect senses, but he's claiming to carry perfect knowledge. How is it possible? Then Prabhupada explained it. Because I am hearing from Parampara where the perfect knowledge is being circulated from one spiritual master to the other. And the origin of this knowledge is from the Supreme Lord who has perfect senses. So the knowledge is perfect. You understand, Kamalkan? Clear now. So we may not be able to perceive the truth like that, but we hear from authority. If, for example, we are told that we are not the body, we are the soul. But can we see it immediately? We can't see it, but we still accept the truth that we are not the body, we are the soul. But it is not blind sight also, because we can understand through inferential logic that we are not the body. On one hand, we can show from based on what we are seeing with our eyes that we are not the body. On the other hand, we cannot see the soul clearly. So we are in between. But because we have heard from the acharyas that we are not the body, we are the soul, we accept the truth, which can also be proved by true inferential logic. And one of the last questions which was asked was, can we say the mother is like Krishna for the child? The child may consider the mother to be all in all, be all and end all, you say, no? For the child, the mother may be all and end all. That means all in all for the child. Maybe the child may call the mother as Krishna or whatever. But ultimately the mother's body is going to change. She is going to get old, she is going to get diseased, and she is going to die. That is the predicament of every living being in this world. So, how much ever one may repose love on one's mother or father, they are destined to die. Even all of us. Sometimes I used to wonder, before coming to Krishna consciousness, oh, how can I get separated from my mother and father? They are so loving. They are so kind. Why is God so cruel that He is trying to separate all the living beings like this? Why should we all not live together? Sometimes we think like that. Or if we die, let us all die together. Let us not see the death of one another. We think like that, isn't it? But when you come to spiritual life, when you go deeper and deeper in spiritual life and realize that you are not the body, you are the spirit soul, then you will get love for every living being. In fact, my relationship with my father and mother is not much different from my relationship with all of you here. Because every one of us is a living being, and God is the Supreme Father, Sarva Bhuta Samatvena, Nirvarena Baliyata. He says every living being is a brother, even ant is my brother. Even if you see dog or a cat or a cockroach or an ant, or for that matter anything, even a plant is like our brother and sister. And who is the father? Supreme Lord Krishna, he says, I am the state giving father, he says. This is how one can understand the universal brotherhood. That every living being is equal, and they all are souls, and God is the Supreme Father. So when one gets this proper understanding, then one can understand that Krishna, when Acharya thinks, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Prani, Krishna is my mother, Krishna is my father, Krishna is my world, and Krishna is my life and soul. Right. And He is the life and soul of every living being. But the mother and father who is awarded to us now, they are only temporary beings. Like a child, son of Chittaketu asked. You say, this is my father and mother. When I was in a fish's body, I had my fish father and fish mother. When I was in a pig body, I had my pig father and pig mother. I have undergone thousands of lifetimes, and in every lifetime I had respective father and mother. Which father and which mother are you talking about, O Narada Muni? He asked. So, that is the condition of you and me, all of us. You all have had so many father and mother, and so many lifetimes. Now, in this particular situation, you are born in a particular family with a particular father and mother. After you die, you may be born in some other part of India or some other part of the world. So you'll have a new father and mother. But we have one person who is our eternal father. That is Krishna. He will never change. So that is why Prabhupada says, we can put complete trust in Lord and completely surrender to Him. Because He will never change. He is an eternal person. So do you want to stand on a tottering platform or on a strong platform which never shakes? You want to stand on a strong platform. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life means to establish our connection with our eternal friend, Krishna, whom we will never be deprived of. Now you may have a friend. You may say, oh my friend, I give my life for you. I love you so much. You are sailing in 1 year. I will also sail along with you. We both will go, get 1 year down. We'll go together, you may say. But you may have such an intimate friend, but ultimately both of you are going to be separated. But Krishna is such an eternal friend that you will never be separated from Him. In fact, once you are connected to Him, you are going to live with Him eternally for all time to come. It is not like the stories that we hear, like Cinderella or like Snow White and Red Rose. Those stories they say. And then the heroine and hero, and they both lived happily ever after. Have you ever seen anybody in this world living happily ever after? You only see them dying ever after. Everyone dies. Everyone dies in this world. You have not seen anybody living forever. So if you want to live happily ever after, then you have to come to Krishna, the spiritual life, and make Krishna as your eternal son. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any one or two questions that you have, whether we can conclude the today's session. All of you are able to catch my speed, because I wanted to speed up and finish early so that you all can get proper rest. Morning, you have to wake up early. Thank you very much for your patience. We have put you in a room and compressed you in a room, very congested. We extremely thank you for tolerating. you know, in future they may have a bigger IVF center and have a double size room. So we will do a brief session for 2-3 minutes. We will go for the start now.